As we begin our service today, our sermon today, I'd like to show you one of the gifts that I was given for Christmas this year. Pretty nice, isn't it? It's nice and warm, but check this out. Isn't that great? I love it. You know, I got this as a gift from my brother-in-law. Every year he gives me something, whether he draws my name or not. And this year he gave me this thing, and I was reading the tag that came on top of this, and it said it's good for camping and fishing and hunting and walking, you know, all those outdoor activities that you need perhaps to be hands-free and be able to have some light shed on the subject. And I will tell you, it's also good for working on a car, all right? Because my son-in-law and my brother-in-law and my nephew and I were working on my mother-in-law's car. Well, let me rephrase that. My son-in-law was working on my mother-in-law's car. We were all watching. But I was very useful, shedding some light on the subject, right, and helping him out. You know, light is pretty amazing, isn't it? If we read in Matthew chapter 2, part of the Christmas story involves a couple of guys, or not a couple, but some wise men. And it reads like this, Matthew 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." You know, this Christmas star has been intriguing to theologians and scientists and astronomers throughout the ages. It was recorded in Scripture that these wise men followed the star. They were in the east, probably over Persia to what is now today Iraq and Iran. They saw the star rising from their position in the east, and they saw it in the west, and they followed this star. People have been wondering what the star was all about. There's all kinds of theories. Like one of them is that it was a nova, a star that gave its last burst of light before it burned out, or a comet that was flying through the air at that time, or perhaps it was the alignment of a couple of planets together with a star, and to the naked eye, it looked like one big star. There are those of us that believe that this was a miracle, a specific star that God put in the skies at that specific time in history to announce the birth of his son, Jesus, the Messiah. And there are those that think it was a myth, that it was a legend that began to make the story of the Christ child also a myth to those people, bigger than life. Now, of all of those theories, we really don't know what that star was. We do know it wasn't a myth, because there were historians, and we have historical documents written by people that weren't Christians, people that many of them weren't even Jews, people from as far away as Rome that said that there was a star and that star appeared about the same time that those same kinds of documents tell us that the Christ child, or to them, this Jesus of Nazareth, was born. So we know two things about this star. First of all, that it existed, and that it appeared in the skies about the same time as this Jesus of Nazareth was born. And the second thing we know about this star was that by the light of this star, wise men, magi, learned stargazers and scientists were led to leave their home in Persia, travel hundreds of miles over the course of months to go to Jerusalem in search of the King of the Jews. All by the light of a star. Light is pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, you're probably wondering why I asked you all to take one of those lights. What I'd like you to do, if you pull that light out, you see a little white tab. I'd like you to pull that little white tab out if you haven't already done so. Okay? And it should go on. Today is going to be audience participation sermon. I'm going to ask you to participate with me in this sermon. First of all, I want you to have your light ready. Second of all, I'm going to ask you to sing. Now, those of you that know me well know that I love children. I'm a child at heart. I've worked with children throughout most of my ministry and continue to have eyes and ears for youth and children. As I see a crowd, I see kids. And I found it over the years that children's songs, as simple as they may be, oftentimes convey very profound Bible truths. And I bet you can't guess which song we're going to sing today. This little gospel light of mine. So I'd like you to join me, all right? First of all, to raise your light, everyone, and sing with me. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. Okay, now keep it up. Keep that light up there. From my perspective, trust me, this is pretty impressive. To see a couple of hundred lights shining together in one place like this. But you know what would make it even more impressive? Reuben, turn out the lights. Now watch those lights. Did you notice that the darkness didn't overcome the light? But in the darkness, the light continues to shine, and it shines even brighter in the dark, does it not? And that's exactly what our Bible passage was talking about earlier today. You can put them down for a moment, but keep the lights handy. In John chapter 1, the very passage that we read these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's a lot packed into those five verses, isn't there? There's a whole bunch of information. In the beginning, at the beginning of time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And by this Word, everything that has been made was made. All creation came through this Word. And everything that has life was given life by this Word. And this light was brought into this darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now that sounds pretty complicated, doesn't it? But actually it's really quite simple. What God is telling us through the Gospel of John is this, that God is a man of His Word. God is a man of His Word. When in the very beginning He said, let there be light, there was light. When God at the very beginning said, let us make man in our image, that's exactly what He did. He made mankind in His image. And when mankind fell into sin, God promised a Savior. And He kept that promise. And that promise is the very Christ child that you and I have been talking about over the last number of weeks. And this Christ child came into this world to shine His light into our darkness, into our inability to understand and to know who God is. He came into this world to shine light on our sin, as the children were saying, to show us that we're sinners and in need of forgiveness. And then He shines light on His promise of salvation. This is our gospel light. If you were to look at this Bible passage, that word "word" is capitalized, which means we're talking about a proper noun here. We're talking about a person. And who is this person? This person is the Son of God who left his throne in heaven to come down to this earth into our messy world. This is our gospel message. This is our gospel light, that he would come into our world, shine his light into our lives, take our sin upon himself, carry them to the cross, suffer them so that we don't have to, rose again from the dead so that you and I might be able to walk in light for eternity, for forever. That's our gospel message. And now he says to us, and I don't know if you noticed this in our first reading, it says, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's our message. That's our light. That we're able to go tell other people about this Jesus, this Christ child that came to be our Savior, because he loves us. And where do we let this light shine? Well, pull your light out again. Second verse. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. A little louder. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. If we were to read on in John, we would read these words. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the gospel message that we have at our disposal. That the light of the world came into our lives. And if we believe in this Christ child who bore our sins on the cross and rose again from the dead, we're saved. We've been now named children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only place in the Bible where the word right is used as something that we possess, a right. Through the gift of Christ and belief that he works in our heart, the faith that we have the right to become children of God. And that's a message that he gives to us. If we were to look in the book of Matthew, another gospel writer, we see Jesus sitting on the side of a mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He looks at his followers and he says to them, "You are now the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others." And later on in the very same book of Matthew, he meets his disciples on another mountain. And this time, at the very end of his ministry, he looks at his disciples and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You see, he now calls us children of light. We are now the light of the world. We have been given that purpose and that job, that great commission to carry out. Now, I got to tell you that last passage, "Go and make disciples of all nations," is near and dear to me, because that particular passage is my confirmation verse. My pastor chose that for me, and I, to this day, believe that it was a blessing that he was giving to me. I think he knew something about me that I didn't know at the time, that I would be going into church work, and that my life's profession, my life's mission would be to share the love of Christ with other people. And a lot of times that's kind of how we read that passage, isn't it? That's for church workers. That's for missionaries. But that's not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying, as you go into the world, as you go about life, as you go about being a part of the community in which you live, let your light shine before men. Make disciples of other people, of all nations. Let the love of Christ shine in your life. That's a pretty powerful message we have to share, isn't it? We don't want to hide it. We want to let it show. And so we sing the third verse. You raise your lights again. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. In this passage in Matthew, Jesus is talking on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I heard one time that Benjamin Franklin was instrumental in introducing streetlights to the city of Philadelphia. Now, we all know Benjamin Franklin was a man of eloquence, a man who was really good at crafting words. You know, little proverbs like a penny saved is a penny earned kind of thing. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, whether he was the one who wrote those or not, we attribute those to him. Now, we would think that wanting to get streetlights to be a part of the community, he would use words, right? That he would get up in front of the city council or the citizenry of Philadelphia and make a bold statement about all the benefits of having streetlights in the dark of night, the safety and the security. We would maybe imagine that he would use the written word, that he would write commentaries and articles in the newspaper, that he would let people know all the reasons why we should have streetlights in Philadelphia. But that's not what Benjamin Franklin did. Instead, what he did is each night he put a pole in his front yard alongside the street, and then each night he would take an oil lamp, trim it, and put it up to shed light on the path in front of his house. And when morning's light would start dawning, he would go out and he would lift the light down, he would extinguish the flame, he would polish off the glass, and then he would take it inside. And each night he did the same thing. And it wasn't long before his neighbors started to realize the benefits of those lights. And so pretty soon, one after another, they started putting a pole in front of their house, and another street light would be lit each night, and then another, until the whole street was lit. And without saying hardly a word, Benjamin Franklin introduced streetlights to the city of Philadelphia, and it soon became a part of their city. You know, a lot of times we think that we need to be eloquent in sharing the gospel message. We think that we need to know all the answers. That when somebody asks us a question, that we would be able to answer every question that they might have. We think that we need to know the Bible through and through, from beginning to end, and know everything about the Bible. But let me tell you, folks, that's impossible. Because we have a God who is bigger than we are, and we will never be able to fully understand him, but he does reveal himself in his word. And it's important, for sure, for us to be able to know what the Bible says, right? But what Jesus was saying, he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, he's saying, love one another. Be a good neighbor. Be a good husband or wife. Be a good father or mother. Be a good child to your parents. Be a good sibling. Be a good classmate. Be a good co-worker. Love others. Serve them. And let your light shine. And when others see what you do and begin to question why, then give them a reason why you serve the way you serve, why you love the way you love, why you act the way you act. And you let them know that we love because he first loved us. And let me tell you how much he loved you. He loves you so much that he was willing to send his son as that baby on Christmas to suffer and die and rise again so that you could be with him forever. We let our light shine. We let our light shine boldly. We don't hide it under a bushel. Where do we let it shine? All around the neighborhood. Where do we let it shine? Boldly. We don't hide it. I heard a story this week about a young man who was studying to become a pastor. He was invited to a 2-week seminar about Greek culture. The professor's name was Alexander Papaderos, and on the very last day of that seminar, he turned to the class and he said, "Do you have any questions?" Now, the seminar was extremely popular. The students were enthralled with all the things that he had to say, and the author of this little story was saying, "You know, there were more questions than we could possibly ask," but it was dead silent in the room. And so finally, the author raised his hand and he asked a question. "What is the meaning of life?" Now, in light of the seminar, Papaderos looked at this guy and he was wondering, "Are you serious? Is this a serious question?" But when he saw the light in the young man's eyes, he knew that he was serious, and he looked at him and he said, "Let me answer your question." He reached into his pocket and he took out his wallet. And out of his wallet, he took this little piece of mirror about the size of a quarter in a perfect circle. And he began to tell a story about that mirror. When Papaderos was a young boy, he grew up in Europe during World War II. And one day as he was walking home from school, he happened upon a place where an accident had taken place, where a German motorcycle had crashed. And there in the road was this broken mirror. This little boy Papaderos began to pick up all the little pieces of mirror, hoping that he might be able to put the mirror back together, but he found it was impossible. So he took the biggest piece, and he began to grind it on a stone until he shaped it into a perfect circle. And as a young child, he became rather enthralled with this mirror and how he could take light and reflect it into darkest places, where he could take the light that's around him and reflect it into places where the light would never reach, dark closets, crevices, holes. And as he grew older, he began to carry that in his wallet, that mirror. And every once in a while, when he was bored, he'd pull it out and he would continue that game of reflecting light into different places. And then as he grew into a man, he began to carry that mirror in his pocket, realizing that it was a metaphor of what his life was all about. That his reason for being here was to reflect light into the dark places of this world, places where light never shined. He wasn't the source of light. He was there to reflect the light. And when he finished the story, he carefully took that mirror and it reflected the light from the room into the face of the young man and then to his hands. And he looked at the young man and he said, "Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men, they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I'd like to invite you to take out that light one more time. And lift it up. I'd like you to take a look around the room at all the lights. It's pretty impressive, isn't it, to see all these lights shining together, hundreds of them in this one place. But in a little while, we're going to be leaving this place, and we're going to be going to various places in this community. We're going to be going to different neighborhoods and different homes, different circles of friends, different workplaces, and in another week or so to different schools. We're going to be going to different places, and these lights are going to be spread all through our community. Now think about this for a second. If each of us would shine our gospel light into the lives of one person, hundreds of people would see the light of Christ in us. And that's if we only reach one. But I would imagine that every one of us would reach hundreds of people during the course of a week, right? Different people that we might be able to serve and to share a little bit of love with, a little bit of light. Can you imagine the difference that we can make in our communities? So I'd like you to take that light and raise it one more time. And let's sing the first verse one more time as a prayer. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. May the love of Christ shine through us all this week. May our community see the love of Christ through us, and may our light shine until the day that we meet our Lord and Savior face to face. In His love and His peace, amen.